Okay, Parshas Mishpatim, Tavshin Ayin Beis. The bulk of this week's Parsha, up until Perek Chaftal, the last Perek, deals with laws that govern the civil life of the Jewish people, starting with laws of slavery, what the responsibilities of the owner are to the Eved Ivri or the Eved Kanani or the Shifcha, the maidservant. Those people at the lowest rung of society, so to speak, without any real, you know, dignity and without any opportunity. That's where the halacha begins. It's very important to know that there's only two ways that a person becomes a slave. One is that they stole and they can't afford to pay back. And number two is that they just don't have enough money to support their family, and so they sell themselves as a way of making money. Thereby, they can provide for their family. And this is a very important idea, both practically and we're going to see philosophically, when the first Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, the end of the first temple era, the same time that Nisim and Nevuah was withdrawn from Klal Yisrael, they abolished permanently the ability for anybody to ever be sold into slavery under any circumstances, okay? So that's where we're way ahead of, you know, the world sensitivity on that. And of course, it has something to do with the Madrega that we're on. And be very aware that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaks about the laws of slavery here, a person is only sold into slavery by their own choice or to pay back a debt. And that's it. There's no other way to get to enslave a person. Otherwise, it's utterly forbidden. Okay. We're going to speak about slavery. It's very practical. It also exists, the concept of slavery and freedom, and the slave who doesn't want to go free on a philosophical level, on a metaphorical level. Okay? What we see is that we have a whole body of laws of civil law, how people have to behave with each other. As we said, starting with those that have independence, how they deal with those that do not have independence. That's a big distinction between two people. Very big distinction. It makes all the difference in the world. And then we go through all kinds of other laws. And then at the end of the body of Mishpatim, we come again to Parshas Perakof Dalet, where we are told again, but a whole different bunch of information, a whole different aspect of the events of Har Sinai. So you see that prior to the discussion of Mishpatim, civil law, torts and damages, really, right? Those type of laws. We have the story of Kabbalah Satorah, Matan Torah, right? Then Mishpatim. Then the story of Matan Torah again. So that the bulk of the laws of civil law are located, sandwiched between two descriptions of the events of Kabbalah Satorah. So what you have there is the esoteric on both ends, and the very practical, very literal, very specific in the middle. But it's not just that Mishpatim are surrounded by two stories of Matan Torah. Actually, Matan Torah is surrounded by two stories of Mishpatim, of laws of justice, because right before Matan Torah is the story of Yisro teaching Moshe and setting up for the Jewish people a workable system, a staggered court system, which will ensure that everybody's altercations, differences of opinion, where one person's rights interfere with somebody else's rights, each one perceiving it that way, where that gets taken care of efficiently, quickly, by a very, very, densely populated, staggered court system, a lot of judges. So everybody can take care of their issues very quickly. So you see that Matan Torah is between Yisro and Mishpatim. So we are seeing here clearly that the stories of Har Sinai, Matan Torah, are sandwiched between Mishpatim, and Mishpatim is sandwiched between Matan Torah. Now it's very interesting. Both in the case of Yisro, if you're back on that page 396, where he tells Moshe to set up this type of a system, Rashi says two fundamental things. Number one, this is not where it happened. It happened way after Moshe came down from Har Sinai with the second Luchas, but it's put here. And if you go, by the way, to Perek Chaf Dalet, the second description of Matan Torah, Rashi says that's not where it happened. It happened before the giving of the Mishpatim. It happened before Har Sinai. So both places didn't happen according to many opinions, where they are reported. Therefore, the fact is that the Torah specifically takes those events and juxtaposes them with Mishpatim. That has to be the order, so that when we approach the totality of how our system functions, it's a combination of the esoteric, the revelation, that was Har Sinai, comprehension of things beyond, abstract, with the very practical. Rashi says something else, and it's hard to read this Rashi literally. It's so poetic that we need to understand what Rashi's telling us, and he means it literally. Okay? Now, how does that work? If you look in the Rashi on 396, on Vehimi Machoras, and it was the next day, by Yeshev Moshe, Moshe sat down in Yisro, we're back in Yisro, in the Rashi, on Pasuk Yud Gimel, by Vehimi Machoras, it was the next morning, by Yeshev Moshe Lishpot Es Ha'am, and Moshe sat down to judge the nation. Okay? And it says, by Yamod Ha'am al Moshe, and the nation was standing there, this is what prompted Yisro to give his advice, Min haboker va'ad ha'erev, from the morning until the night. Okay, now, min haboker va'ad ha'erev. Okay, here we have actually min haboker va'ad ha'erev. Hold on, let me find it. Okay, hold it. Here. If you look at the bottom of Vayeshev Moshe Vagomer, the bottom of the second column, this teaches you, okay, Ad Ha'erev, you see, Efshar Lomar King, could you really say this, that he was sitting from morning to night, all day, judging the people? Ella, this is trying to teach us the following rule. Kol Dayan Shadan Din Emes, any judge who succeeds in judging truthfully, La Amito, exactly according to the Emes, Afilu sha'a achas, even for an hour, male alav akas, if the Torah compares it to it, it ascribes that person's achievement to being the same as ki'ilu osek batorah kol hayom, as if he was busy with Torah all day. Now listen to this. So, the ki'ilu nase, and as if he was made a shutuf, a partner, l'hakadosh baruch hu, b'maseh bereishis. This is like extreme. Is this hyperbole? Like you're a partner to Hashem in the maaseh bereishis, the creation of the world. Shenemar, as it says, there, vayhi erev, vayhi boker. And here, what does it say in the pasuk? Min haboker va'ad ha'erev. So, Rashi's saying something very big, very dramatic, that if a judge succeeds in judging something la'amito, perfectly honestly, even once, for an hour, it's like, it's so important, it colors everything else he did that day, and it puts it all under the umbrella of MS. Not only MS, it's as if the person is a partner with HaKadosh Baruch Hu in creating the world, because the same phraseology is used in both places. There, by Briyas HaOlam, it says, Vayhi Erev, Vayhi Boker. And here it says, Vayeshev Moshe, Moshe Sav, Min HaBoker Ad HaErev. So now one is, it was evening and it was morning. That's in Bereishis, the evening leading to the morning. And here it says, the morning is leading to the evening. Now we hopefully, by the end of this class, will understand what Rashi is talking about, what he's referring to here, what he's trying to say on a deep level. Okay? But in order to do this, we have to understand what's so, important and elevated about the concept of Mishpatim, of justice, of ensuring that there's justice, right? What's so important about it? Obviously, a society can't function if there's no justice, but this is not, our mishpatim are not utilitarian laws, that the reason we're giving these laws specifically is because otherwise, if you kill me, I'll kill you, and then we both won't, be able to live. So it doesn't make any sense. Obviously, if mishpatim are juxtaposed, or in between, Matan Torah is in between, Mishpatim, and that's all, everything's out of place and put here on purpose, it's to show you that, as Rashi says in another place, just as the Matan Torah, the Aseres HaDibros, are Mipi HaGvura, straight from Hashem, so too are the Mishpatim. So number one, it's not a utilitarian system that just needs, it's just a smart system that works, it's much greater than that. It's a system where, number one, as we can see, the human dignity, the person's motivations, the person's intentions, Okay? What's going on inside is a critical factor. First of all, there's the Eved Ivri factor where we're concerned, and that's why the halachas are so that Chazal said if you buy yourself a slave, you're buying yourself a master, because it was a form of rehabilitation where you had to do everything to kind of restore to the person their lost dignity by treating them with so much dignity. You had to sacrifice everything. It was really an act of chesed. You had to give them your pillow if you only had one. You had to give them the better food. You couldn't make them work in any degrading labor. You had to, you know, you could... All kinds of things. There's all kinds of halachas in an act of rehabilitation. What was going on inside mattered on how you behaved legally. The legalities were determined by understanding the human being. Also, for example, later on in the parsha, it talks about a person who kills. And the pasuk says, v'im lo tzida, and if it wasn't premeditated, it's a whole different halacha. So that the intent is critical. Critical. What was the intention? Why did the person come to sin? Okay? The fact that the mishpatim are not just legal, but they take into account the human being and what's going on internally and their higher aspirations is evident in the fact that the first dibra is Anochi Hashem Elokecha Asher Tesicha Me'eretz Mitzrayim, and the first of the mishpatim is if you have an eved, you have to let him out after 7 years. It's a parallel. What we're being taught is that the laws, the way our society functions, is a direct reflection of the esoteric, of the spiritual, of our understanding of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's a direct reflection, so it's much more than just legal. But at the core of all the mishpatim, at the core of that union between Anochi Hashem Elokecha, and I took you out of Mitzrayim, so you take your slaves out of slavery, you free your slaves. In other words, your behavior reflects what you understand about the origins of the world, what Hashem wants from you, why He created this world. At the core of all of this is that the society functions based on the premise of Kol Yisrael Arevim Zeh LaZeh. That's what the core of the Mishpatim are coming to address. That we have a responsibility to implement very abstract spiritual concepts in our day-to-day life, and at the core of all of that is that these concepts are played out through how we behave to each other, and all of us together make a unit that has to function as a unit. The whole Har Sinai, remember, Vayichan, they camped in the singular at the mountain at Har Sinai. Rashi says, Ki ish echad b'lev echad, the concept of one person, one heart, achdus. The idea is that in order to implement those ideas into real life, and the Torah gives you halachas how to do it, you have to know that what we're motivated by is implementation as a unit, each one helping each other implement these things, caring that the other person should be able to implement these things, not overstepping their bounds, not holding on to a slave, because if a slave is a slave to a person, then they can't be a free individual who's capable of implementing these great ideas their way through their free choice. Free choice, as we said, is everything. So in order to understand this idea that Kol Yisrael Arevim Zeh LaZeh, that as a unit, we together with these laws implement these great esoterical concepts that were revealed to us, that give us a sense of our creator and our mission, we have to do a little bit of an analysis of the first Dibra in order to come back and understand Rashi, that if you're successful in judging honestly, and by the way, every single person's a judge. We might not have the opportunity to judge a case in court and avoid either personal agendas, pressure, societal, considerations, what's going on, who this person is, what we need from them, how our decision can kick back and affect us later on because of that, right? We don't always get the opportunity to judge another person, but each person is constantly judging the correctness of their actions vis-a-vis God and vis-a-vis their neighbor. And each person is subject to influence by pressure, kickback, what's going to be if I do this now, what's going to be tomorrow, by bribing themselves and always wanting to accommodate themselves, by, their own perspectives, which are always coloring their thinking. We're always in a struggle to judge honestly about how we judge every single thing we do. So whoever succeeds in judging honestly with clarity It's like you're a partner with the Kodesh Baruch Hu in Briyasa Olam. And that's, as we said, has to be understood. We have to put it all together. Mishpatim, these specific laws, Kol Yisrael Revim Zelazeh, in a practical way, materialize these concepts, and how these concepts that Kodesh Baruch Hu is giving us, if we're able to adhere to them and live by them correctly, we're like creating the heavens and the earth. Okay, we have to go back to Anochi Hashem Elokecha Asher Tzeisicha Me'eretz Mitzrayim. Okay, then we'll understand this Erev Boker, Boker Erev business. So in Re'ei Emunah, right, Rav Moshe Shapiro Sefer on the 13 Ikrim, in which he explains that they all were demonstrated and experienced by Klal Yisrael during the process of Yetzias Mitzrayim. That's how they became Ikrim. He has a discussion here regarding the first Dibra, Anochi Hashem Elokecha Asher Tzeisicha Me'eretz Mitzrayim. And the question is, the most simplest question on this Dibra is, what's the Tzivoy? What's the command? If it's one of the Aseres HaDibros, it's a Tzivoy. All the Dibros are commands. So where's the command here? So he brings down the Smach, which is an early Sefer on Halacha that tells us what the Halachas are in these cases, it codifies Halacha. And in the discussion of Anochi Hashem Elokecha, we recognize that, first of all, it has to be a mitzvah, as we said. Also, for it just to be a statement makes no sense at all, because we know this already. Okay, we know that Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim, already said on the Yam, Vayaminu Bahashem uBmoshe Avdo. They already said Naseh. This was all, and when Hashem offered them the Torah back in the beginning of Yisrael, he said, you see how I took you out of Mitzrayim and brought you to me on eagle's wings, etc., and I offer you the Torah. And they said Naseh already. Naseh B'nishma doesn't come up till chapter 24 in Arparak, but they said Naseh. So this is not an introduction or a statement, obviously. So it becomes a mitzvah. Where is the mitzvah here? There's really two aspects, two mitzvahs embedded in Anochi Hashem Elokecha, Asher Tzeisicha Me'eretz Mitzrayim, and the focus is on the second person. In other words, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, Asher Tzeisicha Me'eretz Mitzrayim. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to reveal himself to humanity, so that all of humanity, after 2,000 years, really 2,500 years, instead of continuing to stumble around in oblivion, not knowing who their creator was and what their creator wants from them, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted finally for people to know, to stop concealing himself so much for a moment, so that he should be known and people would know why they're here and what they're supposed to be doing and accomplish their purpose, HaKadosh Baruch Hu could have revealed himself in a million different ways, so to speak. If Hashem wanted to put on a show and open up the heavens and write in the sky, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, and do whatever he wanted so that humanity would stop dead in their tracks and see HaKadosh Baruch Hu's revelation, he could have done that. But that's not how Hashem revealed himself. He revealed himself through doing Nisim on behalf of Klal Yisrael. It's a very important point. Hashem revealed his Koach. As we know, all the 13 articles of faith, that Hashem preceded the world, that Hashem governs all forces in the world, that Hashem can interfere in the world, that Hashem watches what people do and cares, and there's schar va'onesh, reward and punishment, and there's nevuah, that nevuah exists, and that there's Mashiach and tchiyas ha'meisim. Hashem demonstrated these things in the process of Yetzias Mitzrayim only via the Makos and the great Nes on the Yam Suf, through those mechanisms whereby Klal Yisrael were freed and liberated and rose to great status. That's how Hashem became known. Very important point. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling us in the first Dibra, according to the Smach, according to the Halacha that many base their opinions on. This is a classic idea, that embedded in this Dibra is a mitzvah to know not only that, as I was demonstrated, that I am HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and master of all powers, and involved, and drawing you towards your destiny. And never, by the way, the halacha is to always know this, not to pretend you don't know it, not to behave or teach your children or put out a message there that this isn't true. That's usur. That's heresy. We can't do that. We must be true, loyal to our knowledge. We have to admit that we saw this, that this, we experienced this, that this really happened. We can't hide it. We can't cover it up so that the world doesn't know about it. because we don't want to be persecuted or something like that. We have to admit that this is true, that we experience this. But embedded in this experience is the emphasis that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made himself known by taking B'nai Yisrael out of Mitzrayim. Therefore, what that means is that there's a chiyuv, a mitzvah d'oraisa, to know that the Jewish people play a fundamental role in revealing HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence in this world. It will only come through Klal Yisrael. In other words, Hashem created this world, as we started speaking about in the past, a few weeks. Hashem concealed himself so that there would be humanity with free choice, right? This sounds familiar? So that we could draw that R back into our lives with free choice, so that we are not the recipients of chesed, of a free gift, because we are like Hashem himself, who is not the Ein Sof, the all, the everything, the end all and be all, because someone did him a chesed. Hashem is everything because Hashem is everything. And by giving us free choice, that we, to whatever degree we put in the effort, we are eternal. And we are MS, because we conduct ourselves with MS. And we are Tov, because we're attached to Hashem's Tov, and we live it. And we have these same qualities. We are Chai V'Kayam, real and established, and not mortal, so to speak, other than our bodies. That's to the extent that we make that happen. So we're like HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we're not the recipients of a free gift. We have earned, we own, it's truly ours, all of these qualities, just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the essence of these qualities. So Hashem gave us free choice and concealed himself for the specific purpose that we should reveal him through, you know, because of the concealment. Now, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because of Klal Yisrael's devotion, starting from Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, the people that went down to Mitzrayim, and the people that ultimately followed Moshe out of Mitzrayim, which were at that point all voluntary. It's all voluntary up until that point. Esav doesn't get punished for going down his own road. Yishmael doesn't get punished for going down his own road. Those that chose to stick with this mission and this concept, those are the people that stuck by Moshe, followed Moshe out of Mitzrayim. Many didn't, right? Many people were so assimilated by that point, they never even, you know, bought into this whole movement, so to speak, that was taking place in Mitzrayim to free the Jewish slaves. There were slaves of all sorts in Mitzrayim. And this motion, the whole thing. Now, what happens here is because of Klal Yisrael's devotion, HaKadosh Baruch Hu chooses Klal Yisrael. What does choosing mean? What is the chosen nation? HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose Klal Yisrael, that Hashem chose us to be his partner, his shutuf. What type of partner? That HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose that his name would only be revealed in this world via Klal Yisrael and their great salvations that they experience. Only through Klal Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose to tie himself to Bnei Yisrael, okay, to limit, so to speak, his ability to reveal himself in any other way, even though he's Kol Yachal, could do anything, so that Klal Yisrael bear, so to speak, we carry in our hands the fate of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and how much Hashem will be known in this world. That's the mitzvah in Anochi Hashem Elokecha Asher Hotzei Sicha Me'eretz Mitzrayim. I took you out of Mitzrayim. That's how I was, Anochi Hashem. That's how I was known as Hashem, by taking you out of Mitzrayim. And there's a chiyuv to believe that the Yitzias Mitzrayim is the beginning of a process that HaKadosh Baruch Hu begins through great Nisim Galuyim, but slowly but surely, as we've spoken about, he transfers this Achrayus to Klal Yisrael, so that as time goes on, Hashem withdraws his primary intervention, his primary initiation of showing that he acts on behalf of Klal Yisrael and will be known through the great miraculous salvations of Klal Yisrael. What starts to happen is a shift where Klal Yisrael start being the ones that reveal HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence here through themselves, through our adherence to Torah, through our adherence to the laws that HaKadosh Baruch Hu established, through our adherence to the Mishpatim, through setting up a society whose laws speak of God's values, of God's truth. And when we live by these laws, they work. If we do them honestly, if no corruption comes into them. right, and interferes with them. And then we start living in a society that works. It really works well. It becomes a model society. It becomes a society of derachecha darchei Noam, pleasant ways where things make sense and everyone takes care of each other and justice is served and there's a lot of chesed also. And it functions like a very well-functioning machine. And everyone else looks from the outside and sees their various societies, how they don't function well and how much difficulty and misery they've imposed upon themselves by their own particular ways of governing. And they see Klal Yisrael's ways of governing and they say, this makes sense. Where does this chachma come from? And in Devarim, Moshe says that the Goyim are going to look at us and say, just because of our laws, because of our lifestyle, and say, this is a Am Chacham Vanavan, such a smart, intelligent, wise nation. In other words, what we're saying is that by living according to the Mishpatim correctly, which means it's so easy to corrupt the Emes and just shift a little bit and not go according to Hashem's mandates, but put our own personal interests come in court and personally, and everybody starts doing what they want, and it doesn't reflect the Kadosh Baruch Hu as well. But when it goes right, if a person succeeds in once, Rashi says, judging honestly, it's like it colors everything, and their whole day, it's as if their whole day was involved in this pursuit. In other words, it's like they spent their whole day, all their effort in making HaKadosh Baruch Hu's revealed wisdom through practical law, known in this world. And by that, by having a society that functions like that, people look at us and say, who are these people? And then Hashem is revealed through Klal Yisrael, which is a fulfillment of the first Dibra. By the way, just an anecdote. You probably all saw this on YouTube with South Korea. They came to Punovich. Punovich is the premier yeshiva in Bnei Barak with hundreds by now, if you count the alumni, thousands and thousands and thousands of students. And they gave this TV station, this camera crew from South Korea. As you know, South Korea is very obsessed with the Jewish intelligence. And they know us not to be evil geniuses, but intelligent in a positive way, adding to the world, benefiting the world. And they think that it must be the Talmud that is the source of our chachma, because the other nations have the five books of Moses and they're not doing what we're doing. So it must be the Talmud. So the oral law. So you know that they've printed pretty much the whole Shas, the whole Talmud in Korean, but without the Mepharshim. So I don't know how they learned it. But anyway, they came to Punovich. This is on YouTube. You could see it. And they granted them an interview. And not only granted them an interview in the dean's office, they let them roam around the Beis Medrash and interview people in the course of the learning day, which is really pretty progressive for a, really yeshivish yeshiva in Bnei Barak. They went there too, but the fact that Punovich let him in is pretty interesting. This is what they said to some of the boys learning. They said, do you think that the Talmud is what makes you such a smart people? So they answered, yes, no question, but that's not why we learn. We learn to refine our character. We learn to know how to behave. In other words, all of the ideas come down to practical behaviors, and those behaviors are what impresses everyone and they want to know what we're learning. In fact, when the dean spoke with them in his office, they said, we come here to see a yeshiva because we don't have a yeshiva yet in Korea. So we need to see how it works. The point is that through the mishpatim, which are interspersed between Kabbalah and Torah, what we're being told is that through implementing these laws, that's the way Klal Yisrael, even not in the time periods of Giloy Shechina, of great miracles, that's the way they are going to continue the revelation that started at Mitzrayim, that's going to go La'asid Lavo, and they're going to be the bearers of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's fate in this world via the societies they set up. And Hashem, therefore, needs us and is dependent on us, and it's a mitzvah d'oraisa to know that. And that explains what Chachamim say, and that when you get up to heaven, they're going to ask you a few questions. Now, they don't list 613. Did you do this mitzvah, that mitzvah? There's about four or five questions. Okay? One of the questions, now, if we're being asked it when we get up there, it means it's a responsibility. It's a chiyuv. It's an obligation if they're going to ask us if we did it. It's not voluntary. It's not a preference. One of the questions they're going to ask us is, Tzipisa liYeshua, did you hope for the Yeshua? Which doesn't mean in the abstract that I hope one day Mashiach will come. It means he brings the halacha to physically do things. In other words, do the mitzvahs, implement the mishpatim, do whatever you could do, also on a national level, do whatever you could do to make sure that Hashem will be revealed, because it's in your hands. You are, Hashem is hostage, so to speak, to you. So you need to hope for the day when Hashem will be fully revealed, which means you have to know that it's your responsibility. That's a mitzvah. How are you going to do it? Not everybody can change the, you know, can run the, can be the prime minister. Not everybody can make big, you know, big changes and big decisions. Not everybody's the great sage of the generation, but every single person can, in their lives, implement the halacha without personal agenda, without corrupting it. Now, there's so many makoros that prove this point. Let's just go through some of them, okay? For example, thank you so much. So, for example, when Yaakov went down to Mitzrayim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to him, starting the Gullus, and now we understand it, Anochi Ered Imach, I'm going to go down with you. That means the Shekhinah will literally go down into Gullus, which means the Shekhinah will not be revealed when Klal Yisrael are in Gullus, because when Klal Yisrael are in Gullus, they're slaves, right? We're going to go back to the slave. They're slaves. They can't do what they want. They don't have the opportunity to reveal HaKadosh Baruch Hu through their lifestyle, through the way they set up their own society and govern it their own way. So Hashem's Shekhinah is going to be in Gullus. So he says, Anochi Ered Imach, I'm going to go down with you to Mitzrayim. Va'anochi a'alecha, and I will bring you up. And then there's two other words. Gam alo. That means I will bring you up, and also then I will come up. I will only come out of Gullus, be revealed, when you come out of Gullus, through your salvation. So the Beis HaLevi says, the greatest of all the brach, of all the promises, the greatest act of ahava and chesed that HaKadosh Baruch Hu ever did, is he bound himself to Klal Yisrael, will only be known through the Yeshuas of Klal Yisrael. But the Yeshuas of Klal Yisrael come two ways. We spoke about this. Issarusa de la'ela and Issarusa de la'tata. The Yeshuas of Klal Yisrael come from HaKadosh Baruch Hu originating them. That's called Issarusa, an awakening from above, like open miracles, like Mitzrayim. Okay? Or Eliyahu on Har HaKarmel. Or Issarusa de la'tata, awakening from below. That's when Hashem doesn't speak through Nevi'im and doesn't do Nisim. And he's, so to speak, hidden. But he's not hidden. He's concealed so Klal Yisrael can reveal him. They can do the job for him. And that's through also through the Yeshua, through the great achievements of Klal Yisrael, not only through setting up our system, but surviving every persecution. By never losing our trust that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is waiting, needs us, so that even if a terrible thing happens to the Jewish people, an enormous calamity, which we've endured, we know that it is never because Hashem has rejected us, and it is never because Hashem is finished with us, it's never because Hashem is angry at us. It's that even through our most darkest moments, the fact that they can have an incomprehensible hatred directed at Klal Yisrael, that they want to obliterate every single Jew, man, woman, and child, nevertheless, Klal Yisrael don't see it as rejection. Nevertheless, before you blink, as soon as it's over, there's yeshivas and hospitals and Torah and from people and marriages and children, that Klal Yisrael refuse to accept that they've been rejected, because we were told in the first Dibra that we are carrying a Kadosh Baruch Hu's kavod in our hands. And by having a nation that defies every natural law and refuses to go away and refuses to get dejected and refuses to believe they're rejected and doesn't disattach himself from the Torah no matter what, that's also a great miracle. That's a neis galoy. That's more of a neis galoy than Hashem splitting the sea. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be revealed through that, through Klal Yisrael, that they don't make any sense. We're a nation that makes no sense in our devotion to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the fact that you can learn from these events, so it's not an emotionally satisfying lesson, but it's intellectually true, that you cannot destroy Klal Yisrael. It's not possible. And by the way, Rav Moshe Shapira says often, you know, Iran is now threatening that they're going to hit targets in America and all over the world, Israeli and Jewish targets. You know what he says? He said, remember in Purim, it's just the right time of the year, by the way. It says, Achashverosh sent out letters. Lahashmid, laharog, labe, to utterly obliterate every Jew, man, woman, and child, right? Remember those letters went out from that same place? So when Esther said, rescind the letters, what did Ahasuerus say? They're not, I can't. So Moshe Shapiro says, that call went out from that place and it has not been rescinded. That call is still going out from that place. That's the call that will always go out from that place and you can't draw it back. The only thing you can do, what was the solution? Counter it. How do we counter it? They fasted. They were makabel the Torah in Galus. And because of that, the whole plan fell apart. That's the process. So here, the idea is that that's also the Yeshuas of Klal Yisrael. There's all kinds of ways that Hashem is known through the salvations of Klal Yisrael. But as we progress into the Galus, Hashem is known more and more through our stamina to be being the Jewish people. Our commitment to the halacha no matter what. Whether we understand it or not. Earned. Yes, the status is earned more and more. And here are Makor. So first of all, there's that one about Anochi Eredi Imach Mitzrayim of Anochi Elcham Gamalo. I will also come up. Also, he says that Shema Yisrael, you know that Shema Yisrael is our reiteration of the first two Dibros. Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, is Anochi Hashem Elokecha. Hashem Echad is Lo Yelocha Elohim Acherim. Rashi on Shema Yisrael says, what does it mean, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad? Now Hashem is Elokeinu. But La'asid Lavo, in the future, Hashem will be Echad known to everybody as the only one. Same concept. The first two Dibros are the beginning of a process, as we say in Shema, that we know is going to culminate in a worldwide recognition of Hashem. That's why, for example, another indication, in the Shira Siyam, they said at the very end of it, Hashem Yimloch Li Olam Voed. Hashem will rule forever, right? That's the look into the future, correct? Also, we have in Micha, we're told, Kimei Tzeischa Mi'eretz Mitzrayim, like the days that of you're being taken out of Mitzrayim, I will show you great wonders in the future. Micha is always speaking about the future. You, Goyim V'Yavoshu, and the Goyim, the nations will see it and be astonished and humiliated because they didn't recognize it all the way. In Zephaniah it says, Hashem, Shehu Elokeinu Ata, Hashem, who is our God now, but Elo Elokeinu, that's Rashi on Shema, I'm sorry. Zephaniah says, Ki oz ehapoch al amim, then I will change everything, and the nations will have Safa, Barura, one clear language, Likro Kulam, B'Shem Hashem, everyone will call that in the name of Hashem. In other words, it is clearly a concept of a destiny, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name will be more and more revealed in the world, starting from Yetzias Mitzrayim up until the future, via Klal Yisrael. And that's the understanding of the first bracha in Shmon Esrei. We say that he remembers the Zechus Avos, right? And then the next words are, Umevi Goel Libnei Bneim, and he brings a Redeemer to their descendants. Now, there's two phrases here that are opposites. Laman Shemo B'Ahava, on account of his name, with love. Is Hashem redeeming us on account of his name? Or is Hashem redeeming us with love because of love for us? This is telling us, this Yeso, this fundamental idea, that out of love for us, he bound his name to Klal Yisrael. So he'll only be known through the salvations and the great achievements and the survival and the persistence of Klal Yisrael and the Kiddush Hashem we make and how we become so important in the world. And every advancement is ultimately because of us, pretty much. And now, even today, driving technology and all of science and all of that, and medicine, so much comes from the Jewish mind. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, out of love for Klal Yisrael, the Ahava, bound himself to us. Therefore, he must bring a Redeemer to Klal Yisrael because that's the only way he will be known. So for his own sake, he has to redeem Klal Yisrael. That's the bond between Hashem and Klal Yisrael. That is a chiyuv of knowing that that's what the first mitzvah of Anochi Hashem Elokecha means, to know it and to actively try to the extent that each person can to set up their lives, that it's a reflection and a revelation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? When a person doesn't eat treif and they're sitting in an office with non-Jews and they say, why don't you eat that? And they say, you say, it's not kosher, but you're hungry. You haven't eaten since, for the last 15 hours. You must be hungry. That's true, but even though my physical body is hungry, I'm not eating this. In other words, that person knows that the one who's not eating the non-kosher is abiding by a whole different set of standards that reveals HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They ask questions. What is this? Why? Why hold back? What's, when a person refuses to work on Shabbos, no matter how much pressure there is, then they say, what is this? What's going on? I remember when my husband came to Dewey, at that time Dewey Valentine was like the second only Jewish religious lawyer they ever had. So he told them he was taking off for Shavuos. So he said, I won't be reachable. It's before cell phones. So they laughed. They said, Herschel, everybody's reachable. We once had one of our associates camping in the Sierra Nevadas, and we sent rangers in a helicopter, and we got him. And we needed him. We needed to speak to him. So everybody's reachable. So he goes, Heshi said, no, it's not like that. I'll be home, but I can't answer the phone. And somebody actually asked him the proverbial, if you would get fired, would you still not answer the phone? And he said, yeah, I don't. And so they wonder, what is this? So then they ask, well, that reveals HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Through the mishpatim, the league, the laws ben adam lechaver that are sensible, moral laws, ethical laws, the chukim, all of them together, the parts of Jewish history we understand, where the Jews succeed and the Jews make a big, make great contributions, which are known. The parts of Jewish history we don't understand, all of this together reveals that the Jewish people speak on behalf of HaKadosh Baruch Hu somehow or another, through the good and through the bad. We're always speaking for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, through our survival, through our accomplishments. In any case, this is the link between Mishpatim and the revelation. Now, going back to the Rashi in Yisro, okay? Let's try to understand the Rashi. Whoever is done a din emes, whoever can make their life and the way they behave a reflection of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's will without interfering with it, which is very, very difficult. It's like he's a partner with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which now we understand that, in Bria Sa'olam, because the whole point of Bria Sa'olam, the whole point of creating a human being with free choice and concealing himself from the human being is so that we should reveal HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That was the point of Bria Sa'olam. So if you do this, you're a partner with HaKadosh Baruch Hu in Bria Sa'olam and bringing the Bria Sa'olam to its fulfillment. And that's why there it says, Vayhi Erev Vayhi Boker. Here it says Moshe sat from Boker to Erev. Now what's that talking about? So Rav Gedal Yeshur says that this concept of Boker to Erev, that Boker represents, as we know, something different than Erev, obviously. Boker is when it's clear. Boker represents what we spoke about last week, a Giloy Shechina, a revelation, a clarity, a God revealing himself, right? That's the morning, that's the Boker. But that inevitably leads to the Erev. That's the nature of the beast. That's how HaKadosh Baruch Hu set it up. It's Hashem came down, so to speak, on Mahar Sinai, revealed himself, so to speak, for a moment, and then went up, which means withdrew, so to speak, right? We're not moving in locations. And the withdrawal is, again, we can't reiterate it enough, so that Klal Yisrael will be free to draw that aura back down, to unveil, so to speak, by themselves through their effort and not get anything from HaKadosh Baruch Hu's free choice, not get a, yeah, Hashem say, okay, you know, it's like somebody's hiding, and then the person who's hiding says, okay, here I am, without anybody looking for them. Nobody wants you if you're just pushing yourself upon them and you're just overwhelming them. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants people to draw it down of their own free will, because then it's real, as we said. And that's called the Erev. The Erev is when Hashem is concealed. So Moshe came down from Har Sinai. Har Sinai, so to speak, was the morning. And he judged the nation. He implemented the Mishpatim till the Erev. So says that, and he quotes the Medrash here. The Medrash brings this as a source. He brings the Medrash as a source, the following, the Eila HaMishpatim, that's right after Vayhi Bayom HaShlishi, and it was on the day, the Yom of Shlishi, the third day, B'hiyos Boker, in the morning, and that's how we start describing the events of Har Sinai. B'Boker Nitna HaTorah, in the morning the Torah is given, U'Be'erev Nitnu HaMishpatim. And in the evening were the Mishpatim, which means to say the evening is when Hashem is concealed, where Hashem is revealed through the Mishpatim, through our lifestyle, through the way we set up our society. So Moshe goes me boker to Erev. But when Hashem created the world, what does it say? Vayhi Erev Yiboker. In other words, the nature of existence is that it's Erev first, and that's how we start our days in Jewish, right, in Jewish cycle. First there's the concealment, and then there's the boker. That's the way it's supposed to be. That's how Hashem set it up. The essence is concealment. That's the stage that leads to the boker. The whole point of the world was for the concealment. The whole point of creating humanity was so that there would be a creature that through their own free will would be like God himself, the source of their chayim, their life, the source of their eternal life, the source of their emes that they represent and are emes, exist. That's what we call the olam ha-emes, where people go to and live in a world of emes. That is the reason HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the world. So it should go from Erev to Boker. That's why we say in Shemoneh Esrei, Meimis u'mechaya. Causes death and gives life. Right? That is the process. That it goes from a darkness in which we reveal HaKadosh Baruch Hu to a Boker. That's what Rashi's saying. He's bringing down whoever judges correctly. Even once, it's such an incredible accomplishment to be totally without agenda, without my own personal opinions or my own, you know, interpretations. Totally open, objective, to live a life according to what HaKadosh Baruch Hu said is true, what Hashem says is right, to the life of, we call it Kedusha. And if a person does that once, it's like they did it all day. It colors everything, if that's their objective. Then they're drawing HaKadosh Baruch Hu with them and ensuring that Hashem will be revealed, La'asid Lavo, which is going to come through us, as we said. Therefore, they're literally a partner. They are a reason. They're helping HaKadosh Baruch Hu achieve the point of Briyas Olam. And then they're fulfilling from Boker to Erev, Vavahi Erev Vahi Boker, by going from the esoteric concepts that they know in their heads, which are very beautiful, implementing them in real life, which takes hard work and a lot of strength and restraint. They then bring the world back from the Erev to the Boker, to that time of revelation. Now, Purim is the last idea, which we're going to slowly get into, is a glimpse at that Boker at the end of the Erev. That's what Purim is, by the way. Purim, the Nisim of Purim are the Nisim of La'asid Lavo, of the Achras Hayam, of the end of days. They're very different in nature than the Nisim of Purim, of Pesach. Pesach starts the process, that's Nisan, the first month. Adar ends the process, that's the last month. It goes from the Boker to the Erev, so to speak, from Pesach to Purim. From Hashem speaking on behalf of himself to us speaking on behalf of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Through nature, right? Through the human nature, which we'll speak about. And the HaKadosh Baruch Hu becomes known in the world through Klal Yisrael. And this is by the intertwining, as we said, of these two things. I just want to add one point here. My grandfather says, okay, in a sefer on Parshas Mishpatim, based on the first halacha, we started talking about Eved Ivri, that when an Eved says, I don't want to go free, you pierce his ear. Because, two reasons. If he's an Eved because he was destitute and he sold himself into slavery, okay, so you pierce his ear. Didn't you hear at Har Sinai that you should be avadim to Hashem and not avadim to another person? You shouldn't prefer to be an Eved to someone. You should, you know, the halacha is, by the way, that the master at the seventh year has to let the servant go and give him all kinds of financial, financial package, really, so they can set themselves up when they're free and establish themselves in an independent lifestyle. They actually have to provide for them to start a business or something, get them going, buy a field. So the whole point of it, as we said, is rehab. So why would you want to stay with your master? It's not right. It means you prefer living out someone else's dream, being someone else's extension, than doing your own thing. And so you say, the ear that heard, li avadim, you're my slaves, and not avadim to avadim. You shouldn't be a slave to a human master. That's the first dibra, basically. You can't, why do you want to be a slave? And the person that is a slave because he stole, says, you, the ear that heard, lo signov, don't steal, you know, you have to have the ear pierced. Now, both of these make no sense. Because in the Aseres HaDibros, lo signov specifically is speaking about kidnapping, gnevas nefashos, because it's in a category of all things that are chayiv misa, and stealing money is not chayiv misa, it's not the death penalty. So the lo signo, do not steal, Aseres HaDibros, is kidnapping. So what does that have to do with this guy who stole and wants to stay a slave? And also, the one who heard, be a slave to me, and not a slave to others, why don't we pierce their ear at the beginning? when they first decide to sell themselves into slavery. It's not the best option. So the answer is this. The answer is that if a person stole and can't pay back, they become a slave. If a person is so poor they have to sell themselves, these are all legitimate, both legitimate. But when a person is allowed to go free, and thereby through their own free will and their own creativity and their own independent lifestyle, be a vehicle for the revelation of Hashem, their way, and they choose not to be, then at that point they're both chayev, guilty, for lo signo, do not steal, because we're talking about genevas nefashos. They've stolen their own nefesh from its tachlis, from its purpose. At that point, that's when they're chayev guilty for violating the halacha of lo signo. Do not steal your own tachlis. Because my grandfather says here, when you kidnap a person, you're not stealing them from his parents or from his brothers and sisters or from anything, because nobody owns a person. So the concept of stealing a person on a higher level, and in this metaphorical way, we're saying stealing a person from themselves, from their role that they're supposed to play to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, from not letting them be free to independently serve Hashem their way and bring a Kiddush Hashem to the world their way and be part of it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu spoke in the second person. Anoch Hashem Elokecha, Asher Hotzeicha. He's talking to each individual. So not to let a person do that, that and not wanting to do that, that's already your chayav on lo signov. You stole your nefesh. And the Nesiv HaShalom says on that, that a person, why would a person want to stay a slave? He says, I love my wife and I love my children and I love my master. He explains this metaphorically. Why would a person not want to play their role in revealing a Kaddish Baruch Hu in this world, in taking the process from Yetzias Mitzrayim to the Asid, right? In being a partner to a Kaddish Baruch Hu, why wouldn't a person want to play that role? Why would a person want to stay enslaved? So he explains metaphorically, it's Hasidisha type of, you know, thinking where it's more, a philosophical concepts. This is a very classic of that style, that who is a person enslaved to? A person is enslaved to their taivas, to their yetzahara, to the fact that they like serving, someone else's will being imposed upon them. That's not their intrinsic will, their real will. They don't mind that. They like it. They like the fact that they have a yetzahara, and it's very gratifying to satisfy it and to indulge it. And they don't really want to not serve that master and serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what happens. Then a person is chayav, is guilty on genevas nefashos, on stealing his own soul. And God forbid it goes from bad to worse, because following the laws of Eved Ivri and an Eved who doesn't want to go free are the laws of a person who kills. Now, my grandfather says there that a person who kills accidentally runs to an Ir Mikla. And he brings down there, we won't talk about it in depth, that metaphorically it means if a person fatally wounds, to the extent almost killing, but accidentally, or maybe has inflicted a fatal wound, but not with total intention, but with negligence, on his own nefesh, on his own soul, he's got to run to an Ir Mikla. He's got to run to a city of refuge. What does that mean philosophically? There are 6 cities of refuge in Eretz Yisrael. And there are 42 cities of Levium that function as cities of refuge. There are 6 words in Shema and 42 words in V'ahavta. Okay? Which means that if a person is fatally wounds their own nefesh, not just kidnaps, doesn't let it do what it wants, but inflicts a wound to it that can ultimately damage it and really never let it again do what it's supposed to do, makes so many big mistakes that the neshama is so, buried that it could barely utter a word anymore to the person, that person has to retreat to Shema and V'ahavta. What is that about? Shema, as we said today, is Aser Sederis. Anochi Shem Lekecha, Asher Hotzeicha Me'eretz Mitzrayim. V'ahavta Shem Lekecha, that you have to be happy and proud and full of love and connection, recognizing this is your mission, and teach yourself, remind yourself, reconnect to that idea. It's the only way to save yourself from destroying your nefesh, from destroying your tachlis here, for wasting your life completely, forgetting what you're here for, forgetting your role. The only way is to go back and reiterate this to oneself, to go back and learn it again and integrate it again. So, Be'ezras Hashem, with God's help, because everything is Be'ezras Hashem, we should have the merit to fulfill and be vehicles in fulfilling the theme of the first Nibra. Have a good week, everybody.